Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Papam. How about that?
Really? Oh, yeah. Annunciamus vobis. Gaudemus habemus papa. Wasn't that amazing? What a
It
beautiful
was
man.
what a stunner. Well, his first stop today, Saint Mary Major, to go pray with Our Lady.
Yeah, he's got a great devotion to Our Lady.
This little hidden fellow that no one expected.
Yeah.
It's about Francis of Assisi, your little friend. That's why he chose the name.
I also think they looked, if you're at all over 75, they discard you immediately. Did you notice? Don't we have a lot of prejudice there?
We really
So,
do. How about that? I guess it's his work has just begun.
yeah.
But I mean, it's just I sat there and was listening, and he when he announced it, it was a little muddled. I mean, he was mumbling a little bit, and I couldn't understand. But then he said Francesco, and I went, Francis? He picked Francis for a name?
First time.
Oh, but it speaks volumes, doesn't it? Of and then he's come out now. I mean, and it's very clear. Some people were trying to say, well, it's Francis Xavier. No. He's come out now and said, it's Francis of Assisi. This is a man who he took the bus to work. He was making his own meals. He wouldn't stay in the big mansion. He got a simple apartment. He only has one lung. Did you know that? And when he was a boy, he had an infection. They had to remove one of his lungs. He is about the poor. He would visit all around Buenos Aires and visit all the surrounding area where the poorest of the poor were. And just a humble, humble fellow. This is an extraordinary time, and the Americas are just. So what's on your heart with all that,
Well,
Monsignor?
I was very, very happy. I had my operation
Yes,
yesterday,
how did that go?
and I was actually under the knife when I was awake, but they have to give you directions for this, and in the middle of my getting my operation, I should have been in there, and I don't know exactly what time it was announced, but I knew I was under, so it had to be Rome time when the white smoke came. So the doctor came over to me. I had been laying there on the gurney, waiting to be operated on, and something happened, and he got injected with a needle that had hepatitis, and he had to go get some kind of shot, and that was going to delay the operation even more. So I had about 2.5 hours there waiting, and then finally he operated. And while he was operating, he said to me, "We have a pope." So, and that he's from Argentina. So I was under the knife there, and I couldn't jump up and do much. But I prayed for him. Yeah, that's how I discovered it.
How is your vision?
It never improves immediately. A cornea transplant is unusual. It's brighter. It's had now it has all this potential, but it has to. It's live tissue, and it grows, and it continues to become attached to the eye. And hopefully, I have to go see him today, that it's right on, and it'll remain where it's supposed to be, and all the things are centered properly. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's what we're hoping for too, Monsignor.
It took me weeks to know that the last one failed. So I'll do whatever I can to have it a success. And
Well.
I got tremendous prayer. What's on my mind today is God and his love for those of us who are sinners. Lent is a time when the scriptures and Jesus is teaching us. And today, the Lord in the book of Exodus, the Lord says to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you have led out of Egypt, the land of the Egyptians, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way that I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it, and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. Let me alone then, and let my wrath blaze against them, that I may consume them. Then I will make of them a great nation." But now this is where God is teaching us the power of prayer. But Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your people, your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such mighty and great power, with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'What evil intent that you had, you brought them out to kill them. You brought them to the mountain and to the extremities where to exterminate them from the face of the earth. Let your blazing wrath die down, relent in punishment toward your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own oath, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will promise them the land that I will give them to your descendants as the promise that I will give you and your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' The Lord relented in his punishment, and he had threatened to inflict on the people." And I think today, when we have this time of Lent, and we have our great intercessor, not Moses, but a greater than Moses, Jesus, pleading with God for our sins. But so often, I believe, we just don't know what is our golden calf. What is that that takes us away from God in our daily lives? I don't see usually any golden calf around people's houses. But sometimes, I think if you're disordered on alcohol or drugs, I was going by the university, and it was St. Patrick's Parade here in Scranton. And the young people, a girl just really insanely just drunk and screaming at this guy, and then he was pushing her and shoving her, and they were both obviously drunk. They were binging. And what is their golden calf? You know, are you a student who you seem pretty normal during the days of that you're studying, and then maybe on weekends you're binging or you're taking drugs. I think this some of the were just I was like so many students, and they were using St. Paddy's Day Parade as an excuse to get drunk. And I think, well, where's the golden calf here in Scranton? And some it's just alcohol or drugs. Is your golden calf music? When something becomes so consuming that it becomes your whole life, and you really have no time for anything else, what is your golden calf? You know, are you a father that is so taken up with sports? You're eaten up with sports. Your children have no time to talk to you. You're sitting there and just consumed by basketball, by football, and your children have hardly any time. You're an alien to them because you have that golden calf of excessive sports in your life. Or is your wife a golf widow? What is your golden calf? Sometimes, you know, one of the big things in our day is obesity. You actually can have a real disorder on food. You eat to comfort yourself, you eat, you look for the restaurants, you look for the food, you're always constantly dedicated in a disordered way. I think it's so important as you're living this Lent. Lent is a time when the church and God is putting before our eyes fasting, almsgiving. You know, when you just mentioned, Chris, about the wonderful example that this new pope is, who lives in a simple apartment, who takes public transportation. How committed are you to just growing more and more in wealth? Every man has to, he has such a love for the poor. During this Lenten season, have you arranged your life in such a way that you have an ordered life where there are time to care for the poor? I remember the most wonderful man was my grandfather. He every week he had money that he would set aside for the poor. He tithed the church and he took care of his family, but the poor were so part of his life. It wasn't just almsgiving, just wasn't a matter of Lent. And I remember the S of Home, and they were the days when it was the time of the crash in the 30s. Our home was like a place where anyone who was out of work, anyone who needed food, could come. It was a home that was. There is the truth about the person who's generous with what they have, that their abundance only brings more. People who hoard and are greedy, fasting, almsgiving. And with regard to your life and Jesus' gospel today, with regard to your relationship with Jesus Christ, the truth of your life is that Jesus is the center of your life. over and over again during these Lenten talks, we've talked about the fact that a baptized, confirmed Christian is Jesus in the world. Through your baptism, through your confirmation, Christ lives in you. What about if you're an ordained cleric or a priest? What is the consuming power of Christ within you to give evidence of his life within you? Today, Jesus is so testifying about those who do believe and who have very little faith. The Father is constantly giving witness and testifying that you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That Son of God is in you. The Father who sent him is also in you. When we have the first commandment as the first commandment, the worship of God, how much of a witness are you to worshiping God rather than your golden calf? When people think of you, what is that they say about you? So many times the one that we're committed to, whether it be money, whether it be, you may be just be someone who is so committed that to whatever this golden calf is, that it eats you up. You become more like it than Christ. So that when they look at you think your crime is really not well known because, oh, pornography, where's the victim? And so but where are you? You're dead. Interiorly, your life is dead. I know a wife's sometimes comes to me and her husband is consumed with pornography. And the children are unable to, where is their father? He's dead. When you think that this thing that is destroying you, this golden calf, is not something that anyone really recognizes, you have become so aloof and dead within yourself. And so we have here a tremendous opportunity today as we on this Thursday of the fourth week of Lent. What to name? If you can name the demon, you can tame the demon. How long has it been since you really sat with yourself and came to some awareness? What is my golden calf? What it really is what is my core wound? What is that that takes me away from the living God? Who is more important in the center of my heart? Jesus or whatever this is that has taken me away from God? What a great time that the church is giving us as not so much Moses pleading for you, but Jesus pleading for you with God the Father to awaken to what that is, that you have fallen away from your first love. John in the book of Revelations talks about you have fallen away from your first love. When you first came, you were committed to God. Maybe when you were 6 and 7 and 10, never missed Mass, served at the altar. What's happened? What has caused you to fall away? What in the world is consuming you so that the word of God, the seed that was given to you in your baptism, in your confirmation, is choked off? By what roots? What is that weed and distractions of this world that has destroyed the divine life within you? Lent is a tremendous, wonderful time. And today, I would just reach out to you to ask you to make an inventory, to look and see what is distracting you from your first love. All of us, sometimes we drift so slowly into the dark, we don't even realize that we're falling away from God, from the light, and we wake up and here we are with this creature instead of God, our creator, with this thing instead of the one who made us and loves us and is longing for us to return. How long has it been since you in your heart have heard God say to you, I love you? How long has it been as you become distracted by these idols of yours? I love you too, God. Forgive me. One of the great cries of Lent is to awaken to that which has taken us from God, and the cry, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And he's instantly there. He's been there all along. This Lent could be a tremendous awakening. This new Pope, who gives us such an example of a man in love with God, a man who is like Francis, our Pope now, a man of poverty, a man of love, and an example how easy it is to see Jesus in Pope Francis, and how he reminds us of that beautiful song, Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. What a wonderful day of Lent this could be. Moses crying and calling to his people. Moses calling and crying to God. Have mercy on your people, Lord. And Jesus, with that same cry inside of you, wanting us to return to God.
How beautiful, Monsignor. Any final thoughts for us on this extraordinary gospel?
Well, I think today, maybe as you turn on the news with regard, or read the newspaper, or hear the radio about Pope Francis, you might think of yourself. Each of us in a wonderful way. I really have felt for a long time, I'm not called to be the Pope. I'm just simply called to be John Esseph. And why not, as you look at the Pope and see what his response is to the burdens of being Pope, why don't you look at your own life as I would like to look at mine? What prevents me from being Christ to the world, to my family? What prevents you from being Christ to your husband, to your brother, to your neighbor, to the world around you, to your fellow students, to the people at work? That you, like the Pope, in your own area of life, can become Christ to others. And that beautiful song of Francis can also become yours. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Have a wonderful day. God bless.